And a three, and a two, and a one.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things
and the bad things that may be.
Let's talk about sex.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, Mum and Dad, if you're listening, please stop. Episode 2 is quite nice. Listen to that. That's quite PG. Hello, my fellow confused and probably hungover 20-somethings, and welcome back to Navigating Your 20s, a podcast pointing you in the wrong direction with me, Kate Whittaker. Time for more drunken chats on the mishaps and mind boggles of adulthood. From the time you left your passport in a toilet in Prague to the time you got fired twice. So, grab a beer, even if it's 10 a.m, and let's roll the titles! Hello, my fellow perpetually confused youths, and Wagwan, welcome to a brand new episode of Navigating Your 20s, the podcast pointing you in the wrong direction with me, Kate Whittaker. With me today, I don't know why I keep saying Wagwan, it's a thing, I have two very beautiful people. The first is Rosie. Rosie, my friend, how are you doing? You've got wine in your hand.
I'm really, actually, genuinely very excited about this. I've told a lot of people that I'm doing this. I know that I, and you asked me to be on this, and then I gave you the topic, but I have now seen myself as just the ultimate go-to person on sex since that's what we're talking about.
Wow. Not to toot your own horn or anything.
I would just say that I'm maybe the person who knows the most about sex.
All right. I believe, to be fair, I agree. Amy, what are you saying, my love? Welcome to the podcast.
The second most about
Absolutely.
Sex. No, actually, or maybe the least of the room. Well, that's what we'll find out in the course of this.
All right, well, then I'll be the third person who knows third most about sex. But basically today, we're going to be talking all about sex, rock and roll, drugs. No, we're going to be talking about sex, one night stands, commitment issues, friends with benefits, flings, all that stuff. We're going to be going into the full detail about sex, and we're not going to hold back.
Yes. Our friendship groups are very similar in the sense that we enjoy speaking about sex with each other, and mm-hmm. we're very open about it mm-hmm. most of the time. Well, we guys are.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are, they become quite affronted when mm-hmm. all the details come out, and the details are going to come out today.
Yeah, it's a great way to be to assume that people are open to talking about sex, but I think the upbringings or the experiences that we've had have made us extremely pro talking about sex, and I've often got into friendship groups, especially when I lived in America for a while, where I would just be like, oh, fucked this person, and then everyone's like, oh my god.
So to start us off, what is probably the worst sexual experience you've ever had in your entire life? Okay. Rosie, do you want to start because you're smiling?
Okay, so people meet people and they go, oh my god, they're quirky. Sometimes they have a bow in their hair. Oh my god, they have little dots under their eyes. I'm in love with them. Yeah. But they know nothing about their personality. So this guy who I met sort of like met me for max 2 hours and decided he was head over heels in love with me. Like, aww. Assumed that, like, we were going to get married and all this stuff. And he said he's a terrible person, so it's not me tooting my own horn. So, yeah, max 2 hours. And then he decided to spend upwards of maybe £100 to come visit me.
Oh, my. Okay.
After meeting me for about 2 hours.
Okay.
And that was, like, 3 weeks after we met. And the second I went to meet him where I lived at the time, I got the ick, like the strongest ick I've ever had. But I had this all, like, he was like visually appealing, it was fine. And then he was visually appealing, it was fine. I just had the ick. I didn't want him to touch me. It was awful. I was like, Leanne in Love Island. It does. But I was like, you know what? He's only here for a couple of nights and he spent so much money and he is attractive, so it's fine. So I sort of like we went to a party, we kind of loosened up a bit, came back to mine. And he was so nervous. He was physically shaking.
Oh,
like,
bless him.
Actively shaking.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, he hadn't had much drink. He couldn't get it up. Again, a nervous thing. So I have this strong ingrained memory in my head of, like, his flaccid penis. Like, fucking, like, muscle memory into the palm of my hand.
Oh, God.
It's the worst thing I've ever felt in my life. Look, okay, so
that's awful.
It is awful. And then I was like,
I'm so sorry.
And it wasn't even a one night stand because we didn't have sex.
Oh, that's even worse.
It is one of those things that a flaccid penis, it really does stick, especially if you've had one in your mouth and you're really trying, and then suddenly you're just
it
like,
just goes,
it's not gonna happen.
And you're like, okay.
And you can't. It's one of those things where when I talk about it, I can instantly remember. I can feel it as if it's right there instead of this
What's
nice cup of wine.
What's it remind you of? Like Play-Doh almost. Like Play-Doh.
No, it's wet Play-Doh.
Or like a water balloon.
A water balloon! That is so accurate. Like a sausage doll's water balloon.
I haven't, to be fair, I haven't had many water balloons. I've had more flaccid penises in my mouth than water balloons. Okay. When I was about 16, one of my best friends called Pete.
I do know Pete.
We were talking in a big group and he was like, yeah, I slept like... this girl whose name I will not say, and was like, oh, yeah, she gave me a blowjob and it was awful. Teenage brain was like, oh my god, my worst nightmare at this point would be to be discussed in a circle of friends to say that she's done a bad blowjob. And so we were walking home and I was like, why was it bad? Why was it so bad? And then he gave me this big session and I was like, look, we're friends, just tell me how to do it. Mm. Tell me what you want, tell me how to do it. And this was at such a young age. And then he just gave me like all of these good
tips, such as
don't forget about the balls.
Don't forget about the balls. I always forget about the balls. I never touch the balls.
Okay, so
no,
you've got hands for a reason.
Everyone I've slept with, I'm sorry for forgetting about your balls.
It's easy done. It's just there.
So with the balls, it's like the way I can describe grasping the balls and like nuzzling them with your hand is like holding a butterfly in your hand. You don't want to crush it. You don't want to crush it, but you also don't want it to let it get away. Guys,
that's beautiful. I'm thinking about pool boys.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
Okay, point one, don't care about the walls. Point two from Pete.
It was firstly try not to be toothy.
Oh well, god, that's a no-no.
Yeah, but as a 16-year-old.
Oh, okay, fair.
He
fair,
was still,
fair.
To be fair, a virgin at this point.
Okay, yeah, fair. No, same. Yeah, yeah.
But then also to recreate giving a hand job, but like with your mouth, where basically you still have to like stretch the skin back because otherwise it's just too much. And also to like concentrate on the top.
Yes.
With your tongue.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a good one. That's top a good of the one. Tongue. Oh yeah, back to your worst sexual experience.
Basically,
sorry, we got a bit obsessed
shaky,
with
blowjobs. Shaky, flaccid penis. I said I was really tired, let's go to sleep. And then in the morning I told him I did not want to have sex with him at all.
Oh god. And how did he react to this shocking news?
It's a bit of a weird one because he reacted well, because I think people appreciate honesty in all aspects of life.
I agree. We always say this.
No, so I told him, I was just really honest with him. I was like, I just don't see this going anywhere that's not platonic.
Fair play.
And he was like, that's really kind of you. Oh my god. And then, and then basically he went back to where he lived. And I think there was obviously way more bitterness than I'd given it credit for, because he then told me in a roundabout way that he found me mental and terrifying.
Really?
Yeah, have I not told you this?
That's really funny.
No.
Someone found you mental and terrifying.
Well, what he did was...
I mean, you are mental and terrifying, but in the nice fun ways. And only when you've known... only when you really get to know you.
No, it was just the whole thing. The takeaway from this story is when you go on holiday...
That's so funny.
Like, what happens in Rome stays in Rome, and you should really stick to that rule. Don't fucking, take a little, orphan back with you from Rome, because it always goes badly.
Leave them at the Colosseum and run.
Yeah, otherwise known as Pier Paolo. The genuine Italian human that Rosie... came back with
God! Was this during your 6 month gap year?
Six month gap year, Naples.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nice guys, he's the best person ever. And we're like,
he was so boring.
Sorry, what?
No.
You were young, you weren't to know. You
he
were 19.
He wasn't a fan of sentences.
He wasn't a fan of sentences. He didn't have full grasp of the English language.
Bless him. All in good time.
But he did have a Vespa, so who's the real winner?
He did have access to very nice cheese.
I've always wanted a sexual
not
affair.
A euphemism.
Well,
very nice. I felt like Lizzie McGuire in the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Oh, I've always wanted to, have lots of nice sex with a boy in a tiny vest.
Oh, it wasn't nice sex. It was awful.
Oh, well, same. You had the experience. Amy, what about you? What's your worst sexual experience? Is it going to top that?
Not sure, because, again, worst sexual experience, my worst sexual experiences don't involve sex, necessarily. So, one I think of is when I was at a party... And I dragged this man to my friend.
I dragged him.
Billy, I'm taking this boy home with me. And she was like, okay. Okay, I'll see you later. And I was like, no. I am taking him home with me. She was like, that's fine. That's okay. I took him home. with me and took 2 hours to get there because I walked him around, stomped around, and then promptly passed out when we got home. And I woke up and found him halfway through a Haruki Murakami book. And then I asked him to please leave. But actually, the more interesting side of this is that... But so I, for ages, couldn't have sex. Interesting vibe to the podcast.
Put it in. Yes, I love this.
So I have had this thing called vaginismus, which 1 in 4 women have.
Yes.
It basically means that when people try to have sex with you, it is like there is a brick wall.
Mm.
It's like they're putting their dick into a brick wall.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it happens a lot to victims of trauma, or also to people who are fucking unlucky like me.
Yeah.
Thankfully have had no issues with sex in their life, but clearly it just tricks in your brain. And it's when your brain associates sex with pain, so as a protective device, the walls around your vagina just close the fuck up. Something we should obviously talk about far more. If you've ever got a friend who's like, sex is painful for me, that's not just a normal thing, it's not a phase. They have vaginismus because it's your body, once it happens once, or just so many things can trigger it, it then keeps happening again, and it's like your body trying to protect itself. So when I was 18, had my first boyfriend, started having sex, like, I swear to God, he didn't notice. Went out for 2 years. Did not notice.
How big was his penis?
Yeah, was it... I can't... Seriously? Honest to God, I can't really remember.
Was it sort of average, do you think?
Well, it would be, like, we'd have sex, and I knew this, because I'd look back and think, wow, isn't it so weird that we used to have sex when we were, like, lying on our sides? It's because he was basically just, like, having sex between my legs, but not realising that it wasn't going into my vagina because it couldn't.
You're joking.
Gosh.
Really?
Yeah. Luckily, he was also an absolute
terrible
asshole person.
Okay.
So the worst person ever.
What a knob.
Weirdly, it didn't stop me from pursuing casual sex. Long story short, I read a Cosmo article about it randomly, like, 2 years later.
Yeah.
And it was like, my vagina wouldn't let me have sex, and so I had experimental surgery to fix it. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have experimental surgery.
Experimental surgery?
Yeah, though. So it's
they
only...
just go in there and wing it, and they're like,
no,
see what happens.
It's only available in London. The most awkward conversation I've ever had with my parents.
Oh my God, yeah.
But my mum and dad, I need to borrow 2.5 grand because I'm not physically able to have sex, and I would like a very elderly Turkish man to inject my vagina with Botox.
Here we go.
6 times.
What?
There we
so
go.
So I personally have a problem when people talk about my vagina in a derogatory way and not intentional. When they use words that are not nice about it,
yes,
like not when they're saying your vagina's ugly or whatever, but when they use sort
I
of like
they never say that.
Like I've seen it and it's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
We had a bath. Well, you know, one time I was in the toilet and Rosie came in and had a bath and we had a nice chat. I've seen it. It's lovely. You're.
I had a friend in secondary school who was like, you can't be my friend until you've seen my vagina, and then she'd just like pull your
she just stripped off and was like, this is me. Do you approve? Good.
So, Kate, what is your worst sexual
experience? My worst sexual experience? I've had a couple, right? I'll tell you the one that stands out most to me. So, like, I was in this really random bar in the back end of Salford, like, a year ago. I was there with a friend, and I got chatting to this guy at my friend's SU. And I'd honestly, I swear to God, I'd had like 2 Coronas. It was embarrassing how drunk I was. I'd had 2 Coronas and I was like, woo! And I got chatting to this guy that was mates with my friend in the smoking area. And he had an Irish accent. So naturally like,
it's
hello. But he was like a proper slime ball. And he was like, yeah. Like, I'm off to this Tinder date with this girl. And I was like, oh, have a nice time. He was like, and then like 1/2 hour passed and we were chatting and he was like, oh, I'm already late to this Tinder date. But you know what? Like, we're getting on so well, I might just sack off the Tinder date. And because I was drunk somehow on 2 Coronas, I was like, yeah, sack her off, woo. And then because I was so, oh, it's actually really embarrassing now I'm talking about it. But like, we ended up going back to his. It's really weird, like, sky high flat in Salford, like this massive like skyscraper block of flats. It was very strange. And then we slept together, and I'm not joking, he growled throughout the whole thing, and I was just laid there like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm not even like, it was like a
oh, okay,
good God.
Okay, I'm gonna cut in here quickly because obviously any kink is valid. As the Vine says, don't kink shame me, but you have to talk about it before.
Mm-hmm. But when you have sex with a bear.
Yeah. If he wanted to do that, warn the person.
It was a lot.
Exactly.
Good
exactly.
God. And then we had a little cuddle afterwards, and in the morning I was like, right, so I'm going to leave now. It's like 6 a.m. You know when you wake up and you're like, right, I'm not going to go back to sleep. I'm going to leave. We had this really awkward cuddle. And I was like, I'm going to go now. And he was like, and then the worst thing is I left. And afterwards he was like, hey, just so you know, you left your underwear here.
No.
Do you want to pick it up? And I was like, no, I'm honestly good. And he was like, oh, I'll keep them then with a winky face.
That's
and
disgusting.
I was just like, oh my God, you're so weird. Like, I don't want to go back to pick them up. But also, you're going to keep them. That's like something from you if you've seen that on Netflix. Like, that's just...
Yeah,
so I was just sort of like, okay, bye, block. And then he's got a girlfriend now anyway, who's a nice little Irish girl. But yeah, whatever.
Oh, lovely.
Like, honestly, yeah, strange
you
boy.
You know what?
Regret that a lot, but it's banter. I'm chatting about it now, it's fine.
I've left a really lovely pair of American Apparel shorts and one night stand, and I never got them back.
It's such a shame.
It's such a fucking shame. Like,
but you also gained a pair of shorts when you went back with that Russian guy 2 years ago.
Oh my God. I totally forgot about that. Essentially.
I know the story.
Yes, can we please tell everyone the story? This is hilarious.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so what was it now? Like 2 years ago?
Maybe three.
Well, I was doing my internship in London, and obviously Rosie lives here, and I was staying with Rosie, and she was like, oh, there's a party on tonight. And I was like, amazing, let's go. We turned up, and it was me and Rosie, and Rosie's friend from work and his friend, just those two and us two. And we were like, is anyone else coming? And they were both like, no, it's just us. And we were like, yeah, cool, yeah, no worries.
I remember this because they did say it was a party.
It's very strange.
One was Russian. Basically, they were both so posh they couldn't really, like, interact.
They lived in South
people.
Kensington, yeah.
They did.
And they were like, it's a shithole. And I was like, is it? Is it?
No.
Really? Has it been to Bradford?
Essentially, long story short, they bought us those drinks. I don't remember much of it.
You don't. You don't.
Kate does. But at the end of the night, apparently got back to this guy's flat. Kate was there too.
I was there too. Thank God.
And I just immediately stripped off.
You did. So she was in the shower, just, and you'd passed out in the shower at this point. And I know this because he walked in the door and was like, I'm trying to do a Russian accent. Rosie. And I came and was like, wait, just leave a second. Close the door. Got Rosie in a, like, I don't know, fucking... I think I got you in a towel. I shoved you in bed, and then he was like, he was trying to get into bed with you, and I was like, absolutely not. And he was like, I've got some, like, clothes you can wear. And I was like, yeah, sure, put the clothes on and then piss off. And then he, like, got into bed with you, and I was like, I'm literally just going to get in the middle of you guys. So I just got in the middle of you two and was just like, the wall between you guys, like, don't you dare. And then in the middle of the night, I vomited on him. I don't regret it because he was a dick to you. So I was just like, bleh, deserve that.
Okay, so you vomited on him, apparently, right? So I took my gum out of my mouth and scraped it on the walls, losing him his £1,000 deposit.
You didn't tell me that bit. That is hilarious.
He told me like a week after, he was like, well, it's £1,000. And I was like, ha ha.
£1,000.
Because it's Kensington flat, right?
That is literally hilarious. Jeez. So we talked about one night stands, sexual experiences, that sort of thing. How about sort of, have you ever had sort of like a friends with benefits sort of situation where you're both in it for sex, you're really comfortable with that, you're really happy with that, and it's not going to go any further with that. And it's just been quite an enjoyable experience for the both of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I think
the
only thing with this, so my go-to with all sexual experiences, all sexual ideas, is to be honest straight up. That is, I think it saves so much time.
It does.
It can go well. I don't really have the worry about rejection. Like, not that I don't get rejected, but I just don't get offended by it.
Yeah, because you don't want to waste your time on someone that's not interested. So it's like, okay, move on. Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
But I think friends with benefits are actually way harder to find in that sense. So no one gets feelings. They're so fucking hard to find. But at York, I had the world's most perfect friends with benefits. So we met through a friend.
Good way to meet.
We were sleeping together for maybe over a year. I think our last interaction, like, we don't talk anymore, but our last interaction was, so I graduated and then I got into a relationship with someone pretty quickly. And then we chatted a little bit about, like, maybe, like, hanging out in London. But it was, like he's in a relationship now with someone who seems really lovely from Facebook pictures. Like, I'm, like, it was just...
Yeah.
But friends with benefits are circumstantial. Most of the time when I've had friends with benefits, most of the time when I've known friends in friends with benefits, someone has caught feelings.
Yeah. Mm. It's so hard to do, isn't it? We associate sex with, like, love.
Yes.
You know, ultimately. Or if not love, then at least, like, strong feelings towards a person. It, like, brings you close to someone. So it's hard to maintain this, like, arm's length approach with someone without having sex and therefore feeling like you're close to them when you're not.
Also,
does that make sense?
This is a a thought I haven't quite thought through, but do you think the availability of casual sex has reduced the need for friends with benefits? If you want to have sex with someone,
That's
it's not
true.
That hard. You don't need to necessarily... Like, I get it. It's the kind of sex without relationships, but casual... So when I first worked in London, I dated a fair few people at the same time.
Yes.
I dated four people at
you
the same
get out
time
there,
for
girl.
Nearly a year. And whenever I tell... this can go into the sort of like shame around sex because...
Of course.
Whenever I tell people this, they're like, but how did you have time? Which I think is a coded message for like...
Why are you a slut?
Yeah.
To be honest, like, as long as you're honest and, you know, you're not in a relationship whilst you're doing it, I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, I'm just going to have fun and chat to lots of people.
I think the
and...
key is being honest, and I have been, I think both of us have been in that trap of thinking someone assumes something and therefore allowing yourself to do it, where in reality they assume something different. So for instance, like if you're chatting to someone and you're also chatting to someone else, and it might be clear that the first person you're chatting to kind of thinks you're the one person. There's a lot of tenuous problems with this honesty thing, and there's a lot of white lie situations. Essentially, as far as you can, try and be straight up and honest with the people, even if it seems a little bit self-obsessed. It might seem a little bit self-obsessed to go up to someone you're casually dating and say, hey, by the way, just to let you know, we're not exclusive and other stuff is happening.
You are so good at that, though.
You are, because you're like the most...
Excellent at that.
Yeah, you are. You are. This is why I love you so much, because you're the most honest, open person I've ever met. And this is why you're one of my best mates, because you're just like, this is how I feel. And I'm like, oh my God. And it's just so refreshing, because... In this day and age, people just aren't like that, and it's just, it's annoying, and it's like, just say how you feel. And I think it's just, especially with casual sex, it's so important to just be like, you're having fun, I'm having fun, we're 23, cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's fine.
We can all probably afford, in the grand scheme of things, to chill the fuck out.
Yeah, I actually completely agree. And that brings us on quite nicely to the whole commitment issues thing in your 20s. So I read an article earlier, and I think the average age to get married for a woman these days is like 34, and for a guy it's like 36. And I think that's absolutely fine, but when I was having a nice chat with my mum last night, she was saying, she was like, how it's changed so much, because
how old was your mum?
Her and my dad met at 19, which for me is like, that makes me anxious. I'm like, that's too young. And then they've never got married, but they've been together since they were 19. They both wear engagement rings, but they never got married, and now they're like in their mid-50s. And to them, that was just the norm. Mm. And I know people that their mums have had kids, four kids by the age of 24. Whereas I feel like if I told you guys I'm pregnant, you'd be like, oh my God, that's awful. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be like a, yay, well done. It'd be like, oh shit, okay.
What are you going to do?
Are you going to keep it? That's awful. So it's kind of like commitment issues these days is such a thing, because everyone recognises that they're so young and there's no rush to settle down. Because you're not going to get married for another 15 years. So what's the point in, you know, being... in love and, you know, it's
so
hard.
Interesting.
It's so hard.
Maybe one of my favourite things about being in your 20s, specifically your early 20s, is that you can be around a dinner table, a bar table, like wherever the fuck you hang out with your friends. Yeah. You have one person who is unemployed in a relationship for 5 years.
You could have someone
who has never had a relationship in the world and is earning 40k. You could have someone who's like casually dating, like figuring it out on an internship, like... All of these things can exist at the same time.
And all of them are normal. Yeah, all of them normal and completely fine.
I have, my best friend is married at 23.
Good for her, but
to
also,
someone who's
what?
Significantly older than her, but is, like, fabulous. And it was the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. But also, I have best friends who have literally never had a relationship.
That's
or never even come close to it. And that is okay.
But I agree, I'm fine.
I think what... I don't care about age or anything, but what worries me about, like, the 30s is that I could be sitting around with these same people and suddenly there's stigmas that you can't control attached
Bridget
to
Jones.
These social markers.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think I weirdly, even though I'm sort of, like, I'm very, very, like, open about, like, sexuality and, like, having casual sex, and I really enjoy that. However, I am such a relationship person.
I'm so
broody.
You're
good in a relationship. Yeah, I'm very broody.
So broody.
Can I say this? That one time you were in a club in York and your chat up line was, "Hi, I'm very fertile. I've got lots of eggs."
This sounds really twatish.
Say it anyway.
If the right person came to me tomorrow and said, "Okay, let's get engaged," I would say yes. But also, I have no rush to do it.
No, I agree. That doesn't sound twatish at all. Yeah, spot on.
It's
yeah.
another one of those grey areas where it's circumstantial.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is so circumstantial, and there's no point rushing. And I think, like, with, like, the whole commitment issues thing, I think it comes from past relationships, and if you've been scarred by a bit of drama, like, I'm going to put it out there. I think I have commitment issues, and I didn't think I did until whenever I date a guy and it starts getting moderately serious to the point where you're maybe exclusively dating, I'm like, I'm just going to shove you right in the friend zone and then run over there. See you later. Because, you know, a couple of relationships I've had have ended so awfully and hurt me so much for such a long time that I'm now just like, yeah, casual dating's fine. Like, everything's fine. Like, I don't want to catch feels. Like, honestly, I'm like, nah, I think
it's,
CBA.
It's easy to self-diagnose, though, and, like, everything's... In your own dating, like, everything's true until it's not true.
So, yeah, for example, that's like, true.
I have always probably self-diagnosed as someone who's not a relationship person.
Yes, you have.
To be fairly accounted for by...
Oh, boy.
Really?
Has she?
Not for me. Like, I remember being, like, 16 in sixth form when everyone was trying to get with boyfriends. And I was like, well, it doesn't mean anything because I'm too young.
Can we end the part one like that? Because that's beautiful. No, just end of part one. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back after this. Literally 10 second jingle break. See you later. Oh, and welcome back to part two, where Rosie is about to pop the Prosecco.
You ready?
Pop it. All in good time, mate.
That's
hard
to do.
Hang on, shush.
What wall did that go through?
It went through, because we're literally in the box of my room, so it sort of ricocheted off every wall.
We're celebrating life tonight for no particular reason other than that we're alive, really. With this whole virus going around, thank God we've not died yet. Bloody hell.
That's true.
It's quite serious. It's hit the UK. I saw that earlier and I was like, well, we're all fucked.
I'm going to light a scented candle, so we're all fine.
Oh, we're all fine. Scented candles scare anything away. So yeah, welcome back to part two. It's time for the... Blah, 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 blah. The Fun and Games game show. You're supposed to join in.
Oh, I don't know the tune.
There is no tune. That's the whole point.
Sorry.
The point is the tune changes every time.
Oh, it's different Prosecco.
All right. Anyway, yeah, the tune changes every time. That's the banter of it. Anyway, yeah, so this is a Funny Games game show. A game show so good that it can't even afford theme music, hence we just sort of wing it every time. It's all in good fun. So I'm going to give you each a word, and you need to give, you know, the listeners, particularly the males here, some sex advice using random words. I'm just going to sort of chuck at you.
Okay.
Who wants to go first? Who's feeling like particularly...
Me. Rosie is.
All right. Rosie, your word is lube.
Ah, very interesting, because I've been thinking about
it. Rosie fucking loves lube.
No.
What?
Okay, so let's talk about lube.
Yeah.
So... Let's talk about lube and me.
Carry on. As you were.
Okay,
carry on.
Lubricant is something that when the media talks about sex positivity and talks about it openly, they're always like, your first thing you got to do, girls, I don't know what accent I'm doing, the first thing you got to do, girls,
is buy
lube. Please do not think that you have to buy lube in order to have good sex, because I think when you listen to the media, it's not true. So... There are several points I have to make about lube. So, lubricant. So, let's start with what's good lube and what's bad lube. So,
don't
overcomplicate lubricant. If you need lubricant, if you are finding yourself to be uncomfortable down there, lube is a very, very good place to start to make it more comfortable. Okay?
It really is.
But, okay, so the good lubes are, so KY jelly is your basic lube. Don't mess around with it. It's water-based. Durex always has a bit of a smell. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's not great. So boys, it's not great.
Rubber gloves smell.
Yeah, exactly. So stick with your KY jelly. It's pretty chill. If you are in a monogamous relationship where both of you know you do not have any STDs, you can use the best lube, which is actually coconut oil.
What?
But do I'm not learning things. Do not use coconut oil with condoms because it degrades silicone. What's condoms made of?
Silicone?
It's not silicone.
It is. I thought it was silicone. Condoms are made of.
Yeah, it degrades condoms and therefore increases pregnancy rate.
So if you get coconut oil, me and Sarah did this at uni. So if you get coconut oil and you blow up a balloon and you rub coconut oil on the balloon, it'll eventually pop.
Oh my god.
Coconut oil, not tacky, it smells nice. So that's the best lube that I've ever used. But
yes.
So if you get really reliant on caffeine, you stop being able to make caffeine in your body. So when with my ex-partner at uni, used coconut oil every single time I had sex, I stopped being able to be this is personal to me, I stopped being able to get wet on my own because my body was expecting lubricant. And so I always thought I just wasn't very sexually vivacious. I thought that I didn't get wet that easily.
It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Sex is never as simple as like, wet, you love someone, you're hard, you want to have sex.
It's
never like boys get boners in the day just by like looking at the fucking sunlight. So yeah. It's the same as with women.
But do not fucking slather your vagina with lube because no one's going to be able to fucking feel anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, so, Amy, your word.
Oh, gosh. Actually,
yeah, well, I forgot we were doing the game show, but...
Sorry, I have a lot of opinions on lube.
I have lots of things to say.
About lube. Anyway.
Amy, your word on, you know, sex advice is hard.
You know what? I'm going to twist it.
Oh.
A little bit.
We like a twist here in this room.
And I'm going to say, sometimes think about it hard.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. Very good.
I think there's definitely a section where, in your life, where sex is a novelty. Obviously, that happened for me a bit later, because suddenly I could have sex and I was like, oh my dear God.
Praise the Lord.
How exciting. But actually, I think you can get into certain patterns or like you can think of sex as just like an entry point. Like, yeah, oh my god, suddenly someone has inserted themselves within me and thus we were having sex and that is what sex is. Sex is so much more than just penetration, and it's such like a...
No, it's true.
Think about it in terms of lesbian sex. That's a perfect example.
Like, lesbian sex.
You would never say to your friends who are lesbians that they've never had sex because they haven't been penetrated. Like, you wouldn't even think about it. And yet... When you are saying to your friend, did you have sex?
You're talking about penetration. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, no, like, he just fingered me. And you're saying that isn't sex. Yeah, and like, maybe it isn't in the binary definition that we have, but like, any experience that is sexual, that involves your sexual body and your mind.
It's how it makes you feel as
with
well.
With someone else. Like, that is sex. And so I think when you're thinking about like, what your relationships with people mean, what your experiences are, what relationships you want to continue with people, you need to think about sex as more than penetration.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hard.
I love that. I actually love that.
Think about that hard.
God, that was the best Fun and Games game show we've ever done.
Way too much information and a twist on the game.
I love that. Now that's who we are. That's why we're here. What about kind of hookups in terms of like club culture? So it's actually so weird when you really think about it. You go to a club, you get with a guy, and then it's like expected that it's like we're both gonna want to have sex with each other.
Okay, so club culture and hookups and stuff, I think it's an interesting dichotomy because people think of having sex on dating apps in one way and they think of meeting people in real life in another. But realistically, so people think of going on Tinder and finding someone to have sex with and having sex with them in a really negative way.
That's true, actually.
But people think of even if you like flip it to like meeting someone in a club and having sex with them, I still think
that's true.
Let's go on to this point at some point. Having casual sex is seen as negative,
very negative.
Oh my god!
And it's fine.
It is fine, but let's.
I am angry.
Let's talk about briefly. So Love Island this season, there was a point where I got so upset. And I sent you a voice note about this.
Yes,
because there was a point where they were talking about their sexual partners. And like, how many sexual partners have these people potentially had?
Yes.
And one of the guys has maybe had over 100 sexual partners. And admittedly, the girls were like, ooh, that's a bit much. But then one of the guys suggested that one of the girls has had more than 15 sexual partners. And she went and she was like, how could you even suggest that I've had more than 15 sexual partners? I'm not a slut. I'm not this. I'm not that.
Yeah.
Actually, to be fair, Love Island, I think season 2 or season 3, there was an amazing woman whose name I cannot remember. But she did a whole spiel about how, like, women having sex is not a bad thing. But there is such a problem about the differences between the way people see men having lots of sex and women having lots of sex. The amount of partners I have had who, like, proper partners, like boyfriends who have cared about me, who have had such strong issue with the number of people I have had sex with.
Yeah.
And I have been, and this is not saying that anyone who does not have the same, like, categorizations as me is not a valid person, but I've never had an STD. I've never been accidentally pregnant.
You're so careful, like,
all of my sexual experiences have been consensual. It's been amazing. But, like, I've had sex with about 40 people. And
that's not, like, that's fine.
And it's fine. But every person who I have not, who I've told outside of my, like, personal friends, outside, and including, like, my boyfriends right now, they have been shocked and they have really paid attention to the number.
Yes.
I almost think that society makes you pay attention to the number, though.
Yeah, it does. I mean, yeah. It does, yeah, of course
In a
does.
Way, like, we live in a whole culture that things like quantification of things is value, and I just,
But I agree, I think it's ridiculous.
It's the difference.
But it's just like, I don't know why, like, even when I talk about sex, it's almost like, it's like, even this podcast, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to talk about my sexual experiences, oh my God, and it's like, but actually, when you strip it back, we're all just animals, right? And we like having sex. It's how we breed, it's how we have fun, and that is literally, there is... Like, it is so normal to be like, I like having sex. And even just saying that loud as a female, it's like, oh my God, like, people are going to listen to this and be like, Kate has sex. And it's like, yes. I have sex.
Women
it's
nowadays
normal.
Are in a weird middle place, though. Yes. Because, like, we also grew up in the time of, like, Laudette culture. And, like, the cool girl.
I'll give a blowjob. Actually, can we just, like, pause? Okay, I just want to know if anyone else has this thing with blowjobs. So occasionally when I give a blowjob, it goes to a certain point in the back of my throat and I get goose pimples all over my body and it feels amazing.
Oh, that's good. So it goes to a certain point in the back of my throat and I just want to gag. So that's good.
No. Need to re-channel that. I have the same thing, but I also
teach me your ways.
I think it's probably a power thing, and it doesn't happen. Everyone's I've given many blowjobs to people I don't really like, but, like, it doesn't happen often to
that
people I don't, because I think it's a thing of, like, accomplishment and power and pleasure. Yeah. All of these.
Because I've got guys. So when that's happened, I've got guys' hands, and I've said, like, touch my arms, and they've felt these goose pimples and that. Yeah.
I love that.
But back to the cool girl thing, I think women today are stuck in a weird parallel where it's not okay to have too much sex.
Mm.
It's not okay to have no sex.
Yeah.
No.
In it, yeah.
If I came on this podcast today, I mean, you're both fabulous, so obviously you wouldn't care, but if I came to a social situation and was like, oh, I don't believe in sex before marriage, or, like, all of these things, like, that's not okay anymore, in the same way that it's not okay for a woman to have sex with more than 10 partners before she's 23. And it's just strange. There's, as with everything about a woman's life in this day and age, there's a version of perfection
that is very, very particular.
You've got to find it.
Yeah.
It's between being, like, confident at sex and good at sex and interested in sex and political about sex, but also not having too much of it.
No.
Exactly.
No, true. No.
Think about good times. What about, like, I think it's a really nice note. So, like, what about if you've ever become friends with someone after a one-night stand? So I'm going to talk about this. And the guy that I'm going to talk about, I know for a fact will be listening because he's told me that he's listened to the other two episodes. And I love him to bits. Shout out to you. I'm not going to mention your name. But so we had sex in a tent, right, at this festival. And it was honestly, like, one of the best one-night stands I've ever had. I came out in the morning to his friends being like, all right. And I was just like, I'm just going to banter back. I was just like, all right, boys, how's it going? Morning, everyone. Morning. You're all right. He's just asleep. You're all right. Actually, I think it was the way around. I think he went out, like, morning and I was asleep. I can't really remember. I was really drunk. And then anyway, He drove me all the way back to Manchester. We had like a great chat in the car. And we've been like really close ever since. And it's just been like so lovely.
Oh.
And it's so like, and I don't know if there's like anything more there or not right now. He's had a ski season, but it's kind of like, do you know what? Like, it's really nice when you can just have that intimate experience with someone and be like, yeah, do you know what? We really like each other as people. And this is just really nice. Let's just like stay in touch and chat and see each other. And it's just like,
yeah.
Have you had that with anyone? Or has it been kind of like, see you never again? Bye.
No, I've had basically all the people I've had like intimate sexual relationships with, I am friends with now.
Aww.
I most of them, apart from the ones who have blocked me on all social medias. but I love being friends with people I used to sleep with. I think it's a very important part. I think it's really ridiculous. I think it's really ridiculous how people are like, how, oh, we don't sleep together anymore, therefore we can't be in each other's lives. I think if you're friends with them, just chat about it. My best one-night stand was only because of the lead-up. So I matched with someone on a dating app.
Yes.
It was really cute. We chatted for a while. And then I went to his... I met him in a pub. And we just laughed the whole time. Went back to his. He lived in a fucking penthouse apartment in Bond Street.
Winning! Holy I'm shit. Proud of you, girl.
At one point, he was doing something with his hands near my vagina. And I actively... It felt so amazing. I had no idea what he's doing. And I went, what are you doing with your hands? I don't understand. But then, so he mentioned at one point that he used to be in a band. And I was like, haha, you used to be in a band. And then afterwards, we didn't actually ever see each other again. But afterwards, I Googled the name of the band he was in. And I was like, shit, I was obsessed with that band when I was about 19 years old. 18 years old? And
famous.
I used to like, no, me personally, like tiny band, but me personally used to watch those YouTube videos and think, that guitarist is so fit. Oh my God.
And you bagged him.
I banged him.
Yes.
And that was the best one-night stand I've ever had. But I think it's ridiculous to think just because you're not sleeping with someone that you can't be friends with them. But
I agree.
Let's
acknowledge
that people you are in relationships with sometimes have problem with you being friends with people you sleep with.
Yeah, it is true. And I completely understand why, but honestly, like, some of my really good boy mates I met through one night stand. Mm. And I know that sounds weird, but I think a situation is only awkward if you make it awkward. Like, in the morning, if you're like, oh, it's, you know, in the morning, I'm always just like, all right, mate, how's it going? You're just like, well, oh, me neither. I feel terrible. And you end up just building up this, like, you know, because you obviously liked each other enough to sleep with each other. So, like, in my head, I'm like, why can't we just be mates? Like, unless it leads to a relationship, but it rarely does. It's rarely just like, it's normally just like a.
Personally, I have a bit of like a, not a pathological, but I like to befriend people in general. And I find it very hard to, if I have a sliver of relationship, I can meet you in a bar for 20 minutes and I would probably try and have coffee with you once a month for the rest of my life. And that translates to one night stands. And also I think if you view sex in quite a casual way for a while, then it's really nice. And something I've very much struggled with people I've dated is that, like, I don't find that I get jealous very often, and so jealousy is something that I struggle to understand in my friends and in their partners and in my partners and all of these things. Like, it's just, it's an ongoing challenge because I don't care. Like, I was in an open relationship for a while. And it was very much based it was very, like, so we lived in different countries, which was why, and I basically didn't want to be, I wanted the open relationship because I didn't want there to be, like, a stupid mistake that would mean that we never saw each other again. Because if you make out with someone and you're in a very exclusive, intense relationship where, like, that's the end of everything, then you're not going to be able to, like, have a chill coffee in a week to see how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're very never true. Going to see them again. So it was, like, a bit like that, but it was also about freedom and things. And I don't think that can happen without you being quite confident in your relationship. And I think that's why I never felt jealous. So I was like, well, you're not going to be able to... You're not going to hook up with someone in a club that you like more than me because you love me.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in all relationships where partners have had problems with people you are friends with who you used to sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a partner who just found out that I have previously slept with one of my closest friends, and he wasn't upset or shocked, but he was like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that happened. And sometimes when you find out about that, it can cause a problem. Even though it shouldn't, because, like, you're in a relationship with someone. Essentially, what we're saying is, oh, my God, I'm so glad I'm not bisexual because I would have slept with everyone I know.
Yeah, I agree.
It depends. I think it depends on context. It depends on your mental state. Like,
it really does, yeah.
Oh, God. Essentially, everyone is entitled to their own sexuality. As long as you're being responsible, you're not getting pregnant, you're getting STDs. Use a condom.
Exactly. Get checked. I completely agree.
Get checked once every 3 months. Get checked.
I need to go get checked, actually. Exactly. Glad you reminded me of that. Thank you.
We'll go together.
We'll go and get, after this podcast, we'll go get checked. We'll go get checked. We're clean.
Once every 3 months, you get checked if you're sleeping with sexual partners. That's all I have to say.
I think cut. Yes. I think this, like, wraps up the podcast really nicely. Thank you both so much for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening. I feel like we've gotten really deep about sex, literally. Insert laughter. I feel like we've come to the conclusion that in your 20s, commitment issues are real. It's fine. I suffer from them. I think it's fine to enjoy sex whether you're a boy or a girl. It doesn't really matter how many people you've slept with. As long as you're nice about it, you're open, you're honest, you use protection, all that crap. And I think, like, just enjoy your youth, because everyone keeps telling me to enjoy my youth and not commit and have a good time. So I think that's just what I'm going to carry on doing.
Good.
And I think one night stands are a great time, even on dating apps. It's fine.
Let me just, little cut in here. Finding people to have sex with is difficult. Dating apps are a perfectly valid way to use that.
I agree, yeah. You just select. It's online shopping. You're like, I will buy you.
If you are anxious about approaching people in real life, use Tinder. Yeah. Use Hinge.
Easy.
Also,
easy.
Equally, not letting casual sex becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy where you're like, the only thing I want is casual sex, because sometimes you can, like, literally in the worst possible time, in a random way, stupidly fall in love with someone, and that's also okay.
Very stupid, but it's okay.
Revisit back to the point of just be honest with how you're fucking feeling.
Honesty is key.
It'll make for better sex.
Honestly, guys, everyone who's listening, just honestly, just go off and have good sex. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and that's what you
we're
need.
All human beings. We Please. All do it. Let's have talk an about
orgasm
it.
For us.
Have
to
some
orgasm.
Oh my God.
Everyone that's listening, have a bloody great orgasm. I can't wait to hear about it. Enjoy your sex life. Let's be open about it. Everyone does it. It's fine. We're human. Peace out.
Cheers.
We're just pouring our wine glasses up. So in the meantime, while them two are pouring their wine glasses up, cheers. Cheers, Rosie. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do give us a like and a rating. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Your 20s Podcast. And leave
You should get a Twitter.
Oh, but I never use Twitter, but I should get a Twitter.
People give a shit about Twitter.
People care about Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter.
I shall get a Twitter. What else was I saying? Leave a like and a rating. Tell us what you thought. And do tune in next time for more 20s banter. Until then, though, we're about to go out and get drunk, aren't we? We're already drinking Prosecco, but
absolutely wrecked.
I'm wasted.
We did a shot of 60% rum earlier, and I think it's killed us. Anyway, truly we love wasted. You so much. Thank you to Rosie and Amy for joining me. I love you both. Let's go out and Shoreditch. Yas.
Cheers.
Peace out. Cheers. Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. If you've had a nice time, please do subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a topic that you want us to navigate together, just let me know. And why not binge all the other episodes? Give us a follow at Navigating Your 20s Podcast on Instagram and Facebook to stay up to date. And see you next time on Navigating Your 20s.